The epistle appointed to be read for the Feast of the Holy Family is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if any have a complaint against another. Even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. When Jesus was 12 years old, they going up into Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, and having fulfilled the days when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey and sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. And seeing him, they wondered. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did ye not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these words in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace with God and men. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Words taken from today's gospel. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'd like to tell you this afternoon about a certain story about a son and his mother and their operation or practice of the virtue of charity in the home. Took place in the 1940s, and they were in the state of Nevada, and the boy's name was Alfred, and compared to most boys his age, Alfred was very dutiful, obedient, and charitable to his parents, and he would always do whatever he was asked to do immediately and without any thoughts. Secondary motives. And his mother often asked him to go on errands and to do various jobs for her. And sometimes she would actually give him some money as a reward for his good work. Now, once when he had been kept rather busy, he realized that his mom had not given him any money for a while. And so he decided to make a bill. He didn't want to bug her, so he said, "Well, I'll just let her know later on in the week what has sort of accumulated, what I've acquired, what money I'm owed, because I've done this, that, and the other thing." So at the end of the week, he put together a bill, and again, this is the 1940s, so the money is much less. But this is what the bill read. Going on 7 errands equals 5 cents. Babysitting, 2 cents. Washing up, twice, 1 penny. In total, 8 cents. And he gave it to his mom and said, here's my bill for the week of all the work I've done. And she took it and read it and said, all right, we'll settle this tomorrow. And that night, mom drew up her own bill, and she came up with her own list. And the next day, she read it to her son, and she began saying, board and lodging for 12 years, $374. Clothing, $44. Laundry, $30. Driving to sporting events, $7.50. Nursing through the chicken pox, $150. Nursing through the flu, $150. And she got to the end of her list. And she said, well, as far as I understand, you owe me $457. And the point was driven home because Alfred said, all right, Mom, I'll start working on it right away. And he did, in fact, continue living that way throughout his high school years and until he left the home. He worked without the idea of having to be paid. Today in the gospel, we read of our Lord as a small child being left in the temple of his own accord. And the Blessed Mother thought he was with St. Joseph, because at the time it was customary for the women to travel with the women and the men to travel with the men. So as they set out from Jerusalem, they each thought that he was with the other person. It was not until the evening when they realized that he was actually not with the other. So they went all the way back to Jerusalem. And of course, you can only imagine how relieved the Blessed Mother was to have found her son. And of course, went right up to him and immediately approached him and asked him why he had remained behind. What was the reason? And our Lord responded, according to St. Luke in the Gospel, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And a seemingly strange response, but knowing that our Lord, being God, could respond in this fashion, he was intending at this point in time to show to the world he was beginning to work out the salvation of the world. And it was one of those moments where he told them of that he was intending to begin this, his public life in a sense, in a small sense. And then right afterwards, immediately afterwards, he goes down with them. St. Luke says he was subject to them. So he did continue to be subject to them, to practice obedience. And what a great example our Lord has left to us, to children, to you, and even to husbands and wives. I'm sure you've all seen the breviary that the priest prays, the small black book. And in there is always a text with regards to a passage concerning some aspect of the gospel. And today you can read in there, the priest is bound to read, a certain passage from St. Bernard of Clairvaux, one of the fathers of the church, who talks about what took place during this meeting at this time during our Lord's life at 12 years old. And he starts out saying, who was subject? And to whom was he subject? And we know that our Lord was subject to creatures, to Our Lady, to St. Joseph, even though they are as the highest, Our Lady is the highest creature ever created. And yet, God was still subject to her. He was subject to his foster father, St. Joseph. St. Bernard says, the God whom the angels serve, whom the principalities and powers obey, was subject to Mary. And not to Mary only, but also to St. Joseph. That is humility without parallel. That is absolutely the most perfect practice of the virtue of humility possible, something that we cannot fully comprehend because we are creatures and we do not know what it is like for to be God, to obey creatures. It's impossible. Some of the fathers of the church actually say to have a closer understanding to this, it would be as if we were to obey irrational animals. So if we were able to somehow follow an animal and what they were to tell us to do, that would be somewhat similar or analogous to God obeying creatures, St. Joseph and Our Lady. In terms of being infinite and finite, St. Bernard says, man, learn to obey. God humbles himself while we, mere creatures, exalt ourselves. Very true. Mankind is tempted to pride. Because we are creatures, we have a fallen human nature, and therefore we are tempted to think of ourselves as better than others. It is due to the result and the effects of original sin. And that is what we all have to strive to overcome. We have to beat down that sin of pride, which comes to us to say, you are better than others. You have rights. You don't need to listen to so-and-so. You don't have to do what your parents tell you to do. You don't have to listen to them. You're your own man in all forms that the devil takes to bring down a person through pride. And that's why St. Bernard says, learn to obey, no matter who you are. The Pope is the servant of the servants. He is the greatest servant of all, because he's the leader of the church, Pope Leo XIII. If we were alive during his day, and we were able to be under Pope Leo XIII, reigning as the Pope, the vicar of the church, how glorious that would be. But at the same time, Pope Leo XIII was the servant of the servants of God. And he knew that, and that is why he wrote in his encyclical that children have a great example of obedience in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, children have in Jesus, who was subject to Joseph and Mary, a divine example of obedience. And then he said, there's three ways they have this example of obedience. To admire. They also, he says, have an example of obedience to cultivate. And also, thirdly, to imitate. That was Pope Leo XIII, to admire, cultivate, and imitate the example of the Christ child. Because Pope Leo XIII truly understood the necessity of the fourth commandment, that thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Very simple to say, very simple to repeat, to teach, but it is very difficult to practice because, again, it goes back to pride. We want to do what we want to do. But at all costs, we must look to the Holy Family for the practice of humility. It's what Alfred did in the story. That's what he practiced once he realized, all right, Mom, that's what I'll do. And then he went right through with it. He practiced obedience. There was no explanations. Well, why? Can I do it later? Do I have to do it now? Okay, I'll get to it. And then you don't do it. Hour goes by. All those deceits of the devil. He tries to bring people down through pride and disobedience. We have to think of our Lord in the gospel for today's Mass. And he was subject to them. To who? St. Bernard says, to mere creatures, even though it was Our Lady, St. Joseph, nonetheless, God was subject to creatures. Therefore, we as humans, as children can be subject to your parents. We have to do that. And you have to have an example. Pope Leo XIII gives us Our Lady and St. Joseph as the perfect example. And not only are we given today an example for children, but also spouses have in the Holy Family a great example to imitate. The lesson that husbands and wives have is the imitation of the virtues of the Holy Family, and they should look out for each other. Perhaps the greatest example for a couple would be to anticipate the needs of the other. When a spouse anticipates the needs of the other, they pave the way for peace in the home. And that has a effect, a trickle-down effect upon the family, upon the children. That harmony that is created. After a couple live together for 5, 10, 15, 30, 50 years, the longer they live together, the more perfectly they know each other, the more they're able to think, well, I know in the past this is what they want, that this is what they're looking for, this is what they need, whatever it may be. And then the spouse anticipates that and has it there or is prepared. Anticipation of the other's needs can create great peace and harmony in the home. And if a couple does that, they are practicing the virtues of Our Lady and St. Joseph. So today the church gives us this great feast of the Holy Family to bring before our eyes the necessity of practicing these virtues. Take them to heart, use them, and peace and harmony will reign in your homes. I'd like to close with the words of the great St. Alphonsus de Liguori, who says that obedience is more pleasing to God than all the sacrifices of penitential works which we can offer to Him. So let us then, my dear friends, be subject to our parents, to one another as husband and wife, and thereby imitate our Lord, who went down with Mary and St. Joseph and was subject to them. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.